Welcome to Radio Dale, the podcast for independent musicians produced by Dale Speaking.
We are one of Canada's top radio promotions and digital music marketing companies.
Radio Dale features fun music facts, inside information about the music industry, and advice for artists.
Hello, Dale Speaking, this is India.
Dale Speaking, this is Rue.
Dale Speaking, this is Amber.
Ring, ring, Dale Speaking.
That song goes by Stay With Me, right? Or is it Stay
We should have a song.
With Me? And like that's and Shakespeare's sister.
That's it. There you go. That's the song.
I'm Shakespeare's sister. I'm great.
Welcome to Radio Dale number 74.
This week in music history, Pete Doherty gets sacked.
Yes. This week's track is from Manufactured Superstars featuring Jarvis Church.
And for our roundtable, the changing face of music videos. And relating to the changing face of Radio Dale, India is currently in France. France,
saying bonjour and bonjour, au revoir.
Au revoir, voulez-vous manger un haricot?
Dans la poubelle. What's poubelle? So, garbage?
Garbage. And
in
I said,
garbage.
Would you like to eat a bean? So
there you go. We're very good
at very good at French. So it will be Amber and I today. And we're going to streamline the show a bit. You'll notice a couple of missing segments. If you miss them a lot, let us know. But we're going to go this way for a little while and give you a bam-boom-pow show.
Bam-boom-pow.
Speaking of bam-boom-pow, this week in music history.
Let us do this, Rue.
Oh, I start.
Yeah.
Excellent. June 26, 1955, born on this day, Mick Jones, guitar and vocals for The Clash.
Happy birthday. June 27th, 2004, the Beastie Boys were number one. So, flashback.
Wow.
2004, though, not that far. Were number one on the U.S. album chart with To the Five Boroughs. And it was their fourth U.S. number one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Take that.
2004.
Not that long ago. Beastie Boys, top of the charts. June 28th, 1975, the Eagles started a five-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with their fourth studio album, One of These Nights. The album, which became their breakthrough album, released three top U.S. top 10 singles, Lion Eyes, which won a Grammy. You gonna sing it? No.
No.
Take It to the Limit.
Take It to the Limit.
One more time. And Thank the title you. Track, One of These Nights, which I don't know.
I don't know. Oh. Got nothing. Sorry. June 29th, 2012, photographers were planning to boycott the forthcoming Stone Roses reunion concerts in Manchester due to a dispute over the use of their images. They claimed a contract issued by the band was unfair, as it expected them to surrender all rights to their pictures. The National Union of Journalists was also supporting the boycott.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, I guess any photos you took
belong to the Stone Roses.
Yeah.
Huh. That didn't work out too well,
I'm
sure.
Nice try, Stone Roses. Good try.
June 30th, 2004, Pete Doherty was sacked from the Libertines due to his well-known addiction problems, specifically with crack and heroin. He had some problems there, Pete Doherty.
Yeah.
And, of course, that ended his career forever.
What's he doing these days?
I can't even remember.
We should Google that after the episode. July 1st, 1983, a New Jersey-based quintet calling themselves a Bon Jovi signed to Phonogram's Mercury Records. I hope I said that right. The group have since done a lot. They've sold over 130 million records worldwide.
Not bad.
Performed more than 2,600 concerts in over 50 countries for more than 34 million fans.
Damn.
A Bon Jovi.
And of course now he is an actor as well.
An actor and an overall good guy.
Overall good guy. We like him. And he might be buying the Buffalo Bills and moving them to Toronto. Weird, huh?
Two football teams?
Well, CFL and NFL, huh?
Oh, geez, that's great for CFL.
I know, not very good for CFL. So, screw you, Bon Jovi.
Go home.
July 2nd, 1988, Michael Jackson became the first artist to have five number one singles from one album when Dirty Diana went to the top of the U.S. charts. The other four chart toppers from the LP Bad were the title track, I Just Can't Stop Loving You, The Way You Make Me Feel, and Man in the Mirror.
I
completely correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Janet either beat that or matched that with her Control album. Because I remember some crazy stat, like, every song on her album became a single, and like six of them became number ones or something.
Mm.
Or the stat was that every song on her album was a single. Something crazy about
and
that.
And is this
album
one of the ones that like Katy Perry has beaten?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should look that up. It's like, who is the new Michael Jackson?
But it's crazy to think Michael Jackson was the first.
Yeah.
In July of 1988, he was the first artist to have five number one singles from one album.
Like, the Beatles never did that. Rolling Stones never did that. Like, it's crazy to think that it took that long. Speaking of songs...
Segway!
Do we have a song this week?
Yes, and for those that maybe are new listeners, each week we just play a song that has some sort of relation to Dale Speaking. Mostly it's tracks that we've either worked with in the past, and when we say worked with, we're a radio promotion company, yeah. So we have taken it to Canadian radio, and right now we're actually going to play you a track that is a new one. We actually just released it on Monday, and it's from an artist that we're really excited about working with. It's actually a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part of the collaboration is a DJ duo called Manufactured Superstars, based out of Colorado. Look them up online. Check out their Wikipedia. They actually have a huge, huge amount of stuff they've done, the amount of festivals they've played. The two guys actually have a lot of behind them within the music industry in general. They play in Vegas quite a bit. They've had some singles that have been charting in the States as well. So again, it's Manufactured Superstars, and the second part of the collaboration is none other than Canadian R&B soul pop sensation Jarvis Church, who we may know from in the past Philosopher Kings, mm-hmm. and he's done quite a bit of stuff solo. So Manufactured Superstars featuring Jarvis Church, and they have a new single out as of this week called Stay, and it's a really, really, really awesome dance track. So here it is, have a listen, and you're going to be hearing it on Canadian radio very, 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 very soon.
That's a word in the song. And we're back.
Yes,
that
we are.
That was Manufactured Superstars featuring Jarvis Church, the song Stay. And we are going to just jet right into our roundtable, which is the changing face of music videos. Now, music videos, when I started watching TV, I pretty much watched it for Sesame Street music videos.
Yeah.
That was life. You watch TV for music videos.
I remember, like, if we're talking back in the day.
Back in the day.
Before the interwebs.
Yeah.
I grew up with music videos. The way you discovered songs or mm-hmm. new singles from people other than radio was going to Much Music, much more, or here in Canada, and seeing the new music video, and you knew the music video more than you just knew, like,
the song,
the track, like, you, like, it was, that was the package.
And, like, so much was sold on a music video. Janet Jackson, was it Rhythm Nation 1814, had this whole big movie of videos, and each video was released on its own as well, and each song was a single, and you knew the dance moves, even though you couldn't dance, and you knew all that kind of stuff. It was, it, you were really, music and video were so tied together that there was a period, especially in the 90s, where you wouldn't even think of them as being separate. When you heard a song on the radio, you wanted to go try to find a way to see the music video.
Yeah, you'd watch the countdown.
You'd have to watch the countdown to see it. You couldn't just YouTube it.
And even, like, an artist, like, use a girl group, Spice Girls. They released a video game on Dance Dance Revolution based on all of the dance moves from the music videos.
Oh, really?
So, think about that today.
Yeah.
Can people do that? Are you, now, I get it. Yes, Psy and things like that. There are specific moves. But back in the 90s, that, like, they were in a music video because we all knew the moves.
We knew
the moves. So where today it may not, that isn't as much of a focus.
Yeah, and we'll get into how the current state of music videos, there are still these videos with big dance moments and stuff like that, but a lot has changed. One of the big ways that music has changed, or music videos have changed, obviously they're mostly found on YouTube, and YouTube is now trying to break into the streaming market as well, which is a big deal. So we're going to do a quick aside before we talk more about music videos. YouTube is the central location for music videos. In fact, you could probably argue it's the central location for music in general right now. People look for music on YouTube probably more than they look for it anywhere else.
It is the number one place where people go to listen to music, watch videos. That's the number one spot we go.
So it kind of makes sense that they're going to try to break into the streaming market. So for, I guess, a music industry minute, we're going to talk about YouTube's streaming service and how it got a little flack this week because it looks like they're going to target independent labels. They've already made deals with the majors. So independent labels feel like they're going to be left out to dry with this deal.
And just to quickly specify when we're saying streaming service.
Yes.
They're challenging, essentially, the popular music subscription services like Pandora, Spotify, and Beats, and RDO, all these other people. Like that.
Yeah,
so they are working their way into that world, and there's quite a bit of controversy over what it is they want to do.
Right? Now, recently, the entire contract was leaked online, and some people have parsed it out, and there were two specific things that independent labels are worried about. One is that YouTube, obviously they're going to make a deal with these labels and say, we're going to pay you a certain percentage for each stream or each play so that you make a bit of money off of it being broadcast, essentially. Now, the deal with independent labels says that if major labels opt to drop how much money they make, independent labels will be, even though they signed a contract saying pay us this much, will automatically be dropped down to that lower level. The reason why independents are worried is the major labels may be doing this, making this decision to drop their royalty rates because they get a big advance from YouTube. So it could be YouTube will pay them $10 million in exchange for them dropping their rates. But that just means the indie labels who will not be paid this money may have their rates forcibly dropped. The other thing is YouTube wants to make sure that an entire catalog is available from each independent label. But each artist has a different deal with a label. Indie labels are very diverse. And you may have an artist signed on to just be distributed, so all they're doing is sharing their music with iTunes and with, like, record stores, stuff like that. Or they might actually have a full deal, but the artist may have decided, I want to keep my digital rights. I don't want to be on Spotify. Or I want to be on Spotify, but not on Pandora. They want to make these decisions for themselves. An independent label will be cut out of the deal even if they do want to sign up if they don't get all of the digital rights for all of their artists. So this is what's upsetting independent artists. If you've been looking online, you may have seen people talking about this deal. And those are the main problems that people are concerned about, which is, you know, it's a big deal because YouTube looks like not only is it currently the hub for music in general, it could take over for music streaming online as well.
Yeah, and it, to kind of go back to what you were saying, like, them having or offering lower rates, which is kind of lowballing, you know,
yeah.
the industry in general and lowballing these other subscription services. So, for example, YouTube contract offers a lower rate of 65.5% of the service's revenue, of YouTube's revenue.
Mm-hmm.
55% goes to labels, 10% goes to publishers and performance rights organizations. Those company payment percentages are lower than the combined 70% in revenue, and it says approximately here, that on-demand services like Spotify or RDO pay.
Interesting. So you get paid less.
Yeah. So you're getting paid less by a service that's massive, mm-hmm. that could essentially just eat up Spotify and RDO and Beats in one go.
Because
it's Google.
Yeah, it's Google. Google is...
Yeah. Like, they're powerful, right? And it's in, there is a quote I do have here that I wanted to share. And it's from the YouTube's head of content and business operations. And his name is Robert Kinsel.
You had it right. Yeah,
yeah.
I think Kinsel sounds right.
K-Y-N-C-L. Good luck with that. He claims that YouTube signed up labels representing 90% of the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Where independent labels are probably going to disagree with that, because the licensing agency called Merlin
mm-hmm.
estimates that indies collectively account for 32.6% of market share in the recorded music industry sales and streams.
Which is a lot more than 10%.
That's a hell of a lot more than 10%. So there are organizations that are challenging YouTube right now,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to say, you know, or they are saying it's very sad that YouTube is so blind and so uneducated about the music industry, and they're just trying to knock out. Because think about the people that are independent. Not every, like Adele.
Yeah.
She's technically independent. Like, there are musicians out there that are independent that are massively huge.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of, and the thing is if your music, if your label or what have you doesn't sign up to this, not only will your musician's music not be included in this new music service that mm-hmm. they're offering, your music videos will be taken down too off yeah. of YouTube. Or music that's related. So if someone did a cover and they have an ad
down.
Over it, so you can make money, like because the way musicians yeah. make money is the advertisements that go over the video.
Mm-hmm.
So if Rue releases a song on YouTube and then I do a cover and there's an advertisement on it, the money goes to Rue,
yeah.
but if he gets taken down, then I'm going to be taken down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. How are people supposed to make money? How are they supposed to? It's going to hurt musicians in the long run. And what they don't realize is that it's completely selfish and horrible what they're trying to do.
Yep. Yep. And that's YouTube. And we don't want to be YouTube or Google bashing, but they are the ones
who say
we're angry.
Yeah, because we work with indies.
And now that we've touched on sort of the YouTube's entry into music streaming services, let's look at music videos, the state of music videos in the past and the state of music videos now. What is the point of a music video? Why would you even want one now? There was a time when you really wanted to have a music video.
Yeah.
And in the early days, bands were pretty much made or broken on their music videos, especially the early 80s. A lot of people don't remember a guy named Christopher Cross, who in 1980 was the biggest artist in at least the US, but pretty much well known around the world, in the UK. And by 1982, he was pretty much gone because he just didn't look good on video, is a horrible way to put it. But he was a great performer before the time that being pretty and stylish and stuff was
important.
And very important. And MTV definitely did that. Much Music helped that along. And it was a very different time back in the day with music videos.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money was spent on music videos, too.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars, at least hundreds of thousands on music videos. And that was how a lot of artists got their name, was from a mind-blowing video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on this at the beginning of the roundtable, obviously, a few minutes ago. But music videos are what made you. Where today, it's to me, it's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
It's no longer, you know, we've got this massive music video that, you know, every now and then you get ones that come through. I mentioned Psy earlier.
Mm-hmm.
His career was built on that video.
Yeah.
But that seems to be rare these days. You have big singles like what Ariana Grande featuring Iggy Azalea. They have a music video, but is my newsfeed on Facebook flooded with the music video?
No.
It's the videos that do show up, if anything, are the ones that are ridiculous, so like Rebecca Black or whatever,
yeah.
or extremely creative. But where there's the ones like Katy Perry's one, there's, any of those big artists, or even like Canadian rock artists, like the videos to me are just are a piece of the pie, and they don't...
They don't have the same
impact
that they used to have.
Because now, and the other thing too, because what has changed, I guess maybe we'll kind of touch on quickly before we start talking about what has changed, but here at Dale Speaking, what was it, 5 years ago, we introduced a service, essentially, whereas we would work your music video, because we, at that time... YouTube was very, very, very new.
Yeah.
Or was just launching, at least.
Yeah.
But you had things like Vimeo, and you had other video services. You had, like you were saying earlier, the popular websites were dedicated to putting up music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Where today, that's no longer the situation.
Not really the case anymore.
Yeah, and I think there was also less... I mean, it's weird to say less music videos at that time, but... I think it was easier to stand out,
mm-hmm.
or it was easier to bring your video to things like blogs.
Yes.
With a story and things like that. But these days, there's just so many music videos, there's so many artists, there's severe oversaturation, and the fact that YouTube is just jammed.
Yes.
That I think it's a lot harder to stand out these days. And also, the broadcast, like Much Music, CMT, MTV... don't play music. Well, MTV doesn't play music videos.
No.
They never have in Canada. They're not allowed to. But CMT and Much Music, there is a big decrease in the amount of videos they've played in the past 10, 15 years. And that's because of us as a society being more interested in programming rather than watching music videos.
Yes.
Because YouTube has come in and it's, you can have a lower budget music video, you can have a more creative and fun video, and you can do whatever the hell you want pretty much on YouTube and put it up there, minus probably a couple really offensive things,
mm-hmm.
where broadcast TV, it's way more difficult to get on there than it ever has been. So when we had this service, you know, we'd bring your video to blogs, we'd be posting it up everywhere online, we'd be taking it to broadcast, like Much Music or CMT or what have you, but... we don't have a service that's focused on that anymore because of how difficult it is. Going to Much Music now, there were videos that I got added 5-6 years ago that they were just like, this is a cool video, we'll throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
Where their playlist has shrunk immensely, and that's not to their... that, again, is just society.
They're
society.
Reacting to what people want.
Yeah, and they're reacting to what's happening in the competition, right? So... for me to bring a video, the main questions they ask, is radio playing this? Where before, that wasn't really a concern.
Yeah.
What's their buzz? Are other people talking about them? Where the chances aren't really able to be taken
mm-hmm.
on these artists anymore. So, and it's very expensive, too, to submit a video to broadcast television.
Yeah.
You have to do a DMDS submission these days, and that's not cheap.
No.
On top of making a video that is appropriate for broadcast.
For broadcast. I remember
HD,
you saying that... But back when we would bring in videos and it was sort of more of a regular thing, we'd often be told, like, if you want to get a music video on a particular broadcast or watch some of the other videos that are already playing there, find a director that directed a video that's already there
mm-hmm.
and try to set up something through them, like get them to direct and come up with a concept for your video.
Because
mm-hmm. coming in with a unknown director, a concept that might be kind of weird or outlandish... with a new artist, basically, they were like, well, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, and that was a piece of information I was told. Just pick a director from the list of the top videos we're playing and have them do your video.
Yeah.
But there's still great services offered by CMT and Much Music. And, like, there's Much, like, the Video Fact. You get grants from CMT or Much Music or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic because they're still contributing. They're still helping. You know, as much as we're saying music videos have died down, the popularity with it, as in, like,
mm-hmm.
launching an artist, they're still contributing and they're still helping.
Yeah.
It's just the landscape has changed so much to the point where we no longer here at Dale Speaking can just have a random person come to us and say, I have a great music video. Can you do something with it?
Mm-hmm.
Some really good examples of stuff that have worked recently... that either we have worked or publicists or what have you connected with the artists we're working have done. Meredith Shaw, she collaborated with Joel Plaskett, and the pitch I was able to use for CBC Music was the music video featured the two of them. So in order to get CBC Music to feature the video, I had the two of them do a text interview where they interviewed each other.
Yeah.
And they both talked about working together. So that was a story I was able to provide other than Meredith Shaw has a new album, Meredith Shaw has tour dates, Meredith Shaw, Meredith Shaw.
There's something new and unique to go along
exactly.
with it. Exactly.
Yeah. And then the other one, too, is M. Griner featuring Chris Hadfield.
Yep.
Now, Chris Hadfield being a very famous astronaut, or former astronaut, and M. Griner being a very well-known Canadian musician, that helps. They're not brand new. But everybody knows you can be the biggest star and write a song and no one can give a shit.
Yeah.
But with them doing what they have, what they created, a music video, they recorded a song together, Globe and Mail picked it up because that's interesting.
Yeah.
CBC Music is picking it up because it's interesting. It's the fact that what the heck is an astronaut doing recording a song with a musician?
Yeah.
You know? So it's being creative. It's having a different kind of story. But 9 times out of 10, bringing your music video to different outlets, whether it be blogs, broadcast, or anything like that, or just getting people to make it go viral, and then putting quotations, it's hard. It's not going to happen.
Like, yeah. It's a completely different world. Like, it's important now. It's more important now to get a feature on a blog or to make some kind of list, like a top 10 list.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's, when you search for music videos online, usually you're going to find like top 20 videos that blah, blah, or top 10 best videos of the year so far. And when you're reaching out to blogs, like an artist can reach out to a blog directly now. Some may react, some may not. I found in my experience reaching out to blogs that some just don't want to talk to people. They want to discover stuff on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So our service of contacting blogs and introducing videos to them, it's worked sort of recently. We worked with one artist and we reached out to blogs that were not music video blogs. They were a lifestyle style blog. So it was a bit different. It was bringing an artist to a different kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
But reaching out to music blogs, it makes as much sense for an artist to do it as for a company to do it.
Yeah.
Now, what can a music video do for you as an independent artist? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We're sort of doom and glooming right now.
Yeah.
What's the point of a music video? Well, obviously music videos are popular. Yes. They're everywhere. People love them. It's just a lot harder to get them on television. But you can do certain things. For instance, the Strumbellas recently released a video called End of an Era, and it had this clever circulating camera idea where every time the camera rotated, things would change. So, like, it was rotating around a room, and every time it would turn back, somebody would be different. They put that video on Reddit, and it got a lot of attention, brought them up to about 80,000 views, and they ended up with a lot of fans around the world because of that. And that led into their more recent video called Sailing, which is kind of like a step up for them. It's this visually stunning video that people have been sort of going crazy over. Final Fantasy, aka Owen Pallett, released a video a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago, called This Lamb Sells Condos. The original video was very, very low tech. It was done with overhead projectors, and it got a lot of interest. And then they made this sort of more high quality, special effect-y remake of that exact video. Mm-hmm. And now you had two versions of the video to spread the song around. Music videos, I find, are like very much a centerpiece of conversation with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very important because they get your music out there, and if it's visual, it's the song's good, and if it's unique, it gives people something to talk about and something to share. YouTube party is sort of a negative term to a lot of people, but it's also something that happens.
Mm-hmm.
People just showing YouTube videos. So you get word of mouth, which may get you views, which may lead to sales. So music videos are still very important.
Well, especially with social media today, too.
It's something to share.
When we say 5 years ago, Facebook, things like that, MySpace or whatever, were in a different place.
Yes.
We're now, like, Facebook has even formatted the news feed so that music videos and pictures and stuff show up more in a much better way than they used to. So, and that's all we do on social media and Twitter is share things.
Yeah, it's all about sharing now, so you have to give people something to share.
Yeah.
It may be that you have your fans sharing with their friends as opposed to a broadcaster sharing with their viewers. That's how it's changed. There's also been another big change in the last 2 or 3 years, and 3 years ago I thought it was silly. Now I see it's huge, and that is The Rise of the Lyric Video, which is
yes.
basically another version of the music video. It's a music video with the lyrics, like a karaoke, popping up so that you can sing along to it or so you can learn the lyrics. A lot of people will release a version of the song, which is just like the album cover or a picture of the artist with the song so people can listen to it, followed by a lyric video so people can read the lyrics and sing along, followed by an actual music video, at which point you have the song in three forms.
Yeah.
One just to listen, one to get the lyrics, and one with the music video. And that is pretty common to see these days. People will do either a lyric video, traditional one, karaoke style, strange background with lyrics popping up on screen, or like Meredith Shaw did, and a couple of other people did, Take Me to the Pilot, another artist that we work with, they did cards or words on t-shirts, or they basically show the lyrics in a different way.
It's what one thing we always stress is content.
Yes.
So as long as you're putting out good content, there's no limit to what you can do, and we encourage, you know, putting out different pieces for one song.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, you know, we would say, like, kind of doom and gloom, like, you know, why do you need music videos and things like that, and kind of going to what he's saying now is have a music video, no matter the budget, the level, whatever the heck you're doing in the video, have one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be creative with it, because I think the more creative it is, the more it's going to stand out.
Yep.
But yes, you're going to probably do your obligatory performance video and things mm-hmm. like that, but just have fun with it, and if you don't have it, that's one less piece of content you have to share.
Yep. And be prepared for, and this is not meant to be doom and gloom, but just reality, that the video you put most of your time in may get 100 views, and the video you whip off in a weekend filming entirely and editing on your iPhone just for something to do may get 1,000 views.
Yeah.
Like, you never know what's going to happen. All you can do is, without annoying your fans, let them know the music video is available, get them to share it around, maybe build a little event around it, release it, and say, on this day it's being released, please share it at noon on this day, and that way it'll help boost the numbers and people will more likely see it. When it comes to YouTube, most of your views are going to come within the first week. Most of those are going to come within the first 48 hours. So it's always a good idea when you're putting out a music video to push it right away.
Yeah, don't sit there.
Don't sit on it.
Yeah.
Because even just that week, just being a little older, think of it like on Facebook. If you post something, it disappears after about 3 or 4 hours. YouTube, it doesn't really disappear, but interest wanes. So
I always look at videos, and I'll start watching the music or not, and I look at the amount of views and the date it was posted.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my automatic going, okay, other people care, so I'm going to care.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I do it, and there's probably a lot of other people that work the same way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, saying all of this, and how we were saying we used to do, like, a music video
service
here at Dale Speaking, we still today work with music videos, but in a much different capacity, and it's pretty much with artists that we're working with in other areas. So if you're an artist, we're working to campus radio, commercial radio, or CBC radio. If you're an artist that we are, you know, working you on, like, in general, like, in a whatever capacity, online, things like that, we will work your video, but there has to be other pieces of the puzzle. So, and I'm glad that we kind of talked about, or are talking about, the changing landscape, but I wanted to make it clear that we still find it extremely important. It's just, it has changed so much, and I think the number one way I've seen recently, instead of pitching or coming up with this elaborate release for a video, it's literally been publicists pitching the video to some big blogs like Vice and getting premieres, and then you release it from there.
Yeah.
And you see who else picks it up. That's what it's been, and it's working for
blogs
some people.
Are the new Much Music when it comes to videos.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excelente.
Round table. So
let's,
before we run away, let's update people on our World Cup.
All right, cool. Bonus.
Little bonus information. We are big fans of the World Cup here, and we have a pool going on at work. Basically, we all chose teams in a draft situation, and now to look at how well we're doing, we have a scoring system where if they advance, you get a point right now, and if they don't advance, you don't get a point. And I am happy to note that at this point, Amber, you and I are tied with a score of 2. And Dale has caught up to India, and now they have a score of 3.
Would I not have 3 because Mexico...
I gave you your one there.
Excuse me, I'm like on top of the microphone.
Mexico. Uruguay.
Uruguay.
We're waiting on the United States.
Nigeria. Germany. Okay.
Yep, there you go. You're questioning the math?
Yes. Just making sure.
We are all moving forward in one way or another, but if you want to check it out, head to dalespeaking.com /World Cup 2014, and you can see how well we're doing.
I look forward to my free coffee at Starbucks.
I think that Colombia are going to take it all, and therefore I'm going to win.
Can you enter crickets there?
You never know.
Oh.
You never know. Anyways, yay.
Podcasting.
Thank you for listening to Radio Dale. You can find out more about Dale Speaking at www.dalespeaking.com.
We're also on Twitter at Dale_speaking.
We're also on Facebook. Just look under Dale Speaking.
And email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com.